irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. That is what it's all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you want to call in and talk with me today about whatever is on your mind, the number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. Because whatever is going on with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. It's not what you are eating, it's why. So give me a call. Let me know what's going on with you. Let's get to the roots of what is creating the problem with food. And that way you get rid of it for good. Yes, for good. It really is possible. Okay. So I thought that I would talk today about guilt because I hear a lot. And by the way, if you want to call me, just call me. Don't worry about interrupting me. Ronan, I'm getting Ronan. Are we still connected? Caller joining. Oh, I was going to say, don't worry about interrupting me. And someone was listening. So caller, are you here yet? Hello. Always interesting to do this from home. Engineer Ronan is doing this from home. Sometimes it doesn't work so seamlessly. All right, so I am going to just start talking, and caller, if you get through, please just interrupt me. All right, so I want to read from my book, The Binge Cure.
Hello,
Nicole. Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's good to talk with you.
Likewise, I'm glad that all this corona stuff is slowly coming to an end. I feel like at least getting better.
Well, what about you? What's going on with you?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about me. Okay, so I feel like recently I feel like I've been eating more than usual, and I don't know what's going on, and I keep trying to think like what's eating at me, and I'm trying to like find reasons. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm being more active. Maybe I'm doing Pilates. So I'm doing some, you know, lifting weight. So maybe my body needs more calories.
Well, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
When you say
sure.
You're eating more than usual, that could mean a lot of different things. That could mean okay. You just mentioned that you're doing a lot more working out. So maybe you're hungrier, more hungry than usual because you're exercising more, in which case eating more than usual would be a physiological normal response to more exercise. That's different from eating more than usual that's motivated from a sense of I've got to eat something to change the way I emotionally feel. That's different from I'm deprived of something, so I've got to have that thing now because I'm not going to have it until I lose 10 pounds or 30 or 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's really the motivation.
I think that I may be making up a reason because I've always been active and I've always worked out. So I'm trying to maybe not face the emotional stuff and just kind of justifying it by trying to make up an explanation in my head. But really, I've always been active. I've always exercised. I do something active every single day. So compared to my usual activity and my hunger levels, I feel like lately, I don't know, like this morning I woke up and I think I keep telling myself, why am I eating so much more than usual? So then now I'm eating more. Like I woke up and I had gotten a sandwich, turkey sandwich from Bay Cities yesterday for lunch, and I ate half of it And so I just like ate the other half right now.
Okay, so as my most frequent caller in all the time that I've been on here, one thing that we know about you and food is that you often use either eating or thinking about eating or thinking about weight as a distraction from other things that are weighing on you, let's say, because it's easier to think about eating more than it is to think about what. What comes to mind?
It's crazy because, not crazy, but I feel like the one thing that's really weighing on me is kind of finances and how my boyfriend and I view finances a little bit differently. And like we kind of got into something over the weekend and we came to a resolution, we came to a resolution, but maybe I don't feel resolved, so it's still eating at me. But could that
Okay.
really be it? I don't
Yes,
know. I don't.
yes, if you listen, if you realize that your boyfriend and you have very different approaches to finances, that's a fairly significant epic thing in a relationship. So, that could mean all kinds of things to you. What are your fears around that? What are, yes, you have
Yeah.
hopes, but what are your
Well,
fears around that? Because
I yeah. I guess my fear, like I trust like that he's really smart, and I trust that together I really think we call each other we call us the Invincies, like the invincible couple, because I think together we're really smart, really capable, and I know we'll be successful, but it just scares me a little bit. I have anxiety about money already, and we come from really different backgrounds where I grew up more privileged and like kind of with everything, and he grew up differently. He didn't have everything, but now it's like I think he spends more than he actually has. And so that makes me nervous because I grew up in a family where everything was like, you don't want to be leveraged, you don't want to have debt, like everything paid cash, don't spend what you don't have, save half, spend half, you know. And I feel like he's kind of doing things differently. And I'm not saying that, I know that one is not right and one is not wrong. They're just different approaches, and probably somewhere in the middle is healthy. But I guess my fear is he's kind of like, he said to me, well, actually, maybe now that I'm talking about it, I can kind of figure out where this is stemming from. He said something like, so he's training, he wants to become he's trying to get his helicopter license. He wants to be a helicopter pilot, and every time he goes up to take a lesson, it's like $1,500, and he's going like twice a week, so he's spending like over $10,000 a month just on this extravagant hobby. And I mentioned we went on a walk, and I mentioned that that's like a mortgage payment, like literally we could like live in a really nice house, and that's like a mortgage payment.
Okay, so this is significant. You're saying that your boyfriend is spending $10,000 a month to learn to become a helicopter pilot. Not, it doesn't sound like as a career, but you mentioned it as a hobby.
Extravagant
So
hobby.
an extravagant hobby. So if this is someone you're also thinking about potentially making a life with, what does that mean for the future? That is scary. If you're much more practical and you come from a family, as you were saying, of hey, pay cash for everything, don't spend more than you make, and be prudent when it comes to money, and you see this extravagant expenditure on a hobby, and he's choosing that rather than on a living in a really nice house. Yes, $10,000 a month would certainly put you into a very nice house. That could have all kinds of meanings that are so scary that it's safer to think about eating more than it is to think about, well, what does this mean? And what does this mean for the future? And how does this bode for when, if we're married, how are we going to manage this? Because it could raise some red flags and some question marks.
And I'm scared. And he went off on me, and he made it seem like he's like, this is a red flag. And he kind of didn't really take responsibility for like his part, but like kind of was like, you gotta, I don't want to say he said you got to change, but he's like, I don't know how this is going to work. You're super conservative. This is the way I do things. And like, you know, he kind of, I felt really attacked. And
well,
I think that
there's something else he just said. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's something else he just said that I don't want to overlook, where he said, I don't see how this is going to work because
he
you're
didn't
so
say
conservative.
That.
He didn't say that.
Maybe
that's
no,
what you just said.
Yeah,
that's what you heard.
Sorry, that's what I heard. That's what I interpreted in
my
brain.
So that's what you interpreted. Okay.
He said something. What he said that really stuck with me that I brought up the next day. He's like, we should slow this down. And then the next, so I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. And I kind of wanted to resolve that. I wanted to resolve it because he got really heated. I've never seen him so intense. So we kind of came to a resolution that night, and I took all the blame. I kind of said, you know what? Yes, it's my anxieties around money. And yes, this is temporary. And yes, I want you to do what you love. And yes, I trust you. I know you'll take care of us. I know you'll take care of our future family, whatever. And I just took responsibility for being the one who has anxieties around finances. But really, it's not resolved for me. And yes, I'm worried about it.
Yes,
so
of course you are.
We have a couple of therapy sessions tonight. So I know that's a really important topic and we will discuss it. I'm just afraid because I feel like I wasn't genuine about where I stand on this topic last night. And I kind of am like trying. So I'm looking at myself to see where do I play a role in this? Whereas he's not looking at himself at all to be like, where do I play a role so that we can come to a middle? He's just saying you're the one. He's like, I've been going to therapy for 3.5-4 years. You know, I fixed my issues. Now you need to go, like, you go fix yours. You have anxiety about money. And yeah, I have anxiety about money. I can take ownership of that, but we need to figure out like how we're going to come to like a middle ground about this in general.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is a significant issue. It's one thing to have anxieties about money, and it's another thing to have objections about spending $10,000 a month on an extravagant hobby, as you put it, at the expense of other things.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I heard when he said we should slow things down, that sounds like so that's like you have this conflict, and his reaction to the conflict is to want to slow things down, which threatens the relationship and threatens the bond. Which makes it unsafe to talk about things that are troubling.
So I brought it up the next day. I was like, babe, I wanted, like yesterday you mentioned something on our walk. Like, did you mean it? You said you wanted to slow things down. And he's like, I didn't mean slow things down, like break up. I meant this is something to look at because I'm always thinking 5 steps ahead, and I can see in the future where, you know, we want to send our kids to private school, and I could see you being like, no, we don't have enough money for that. And like, just how are we going to deal with things if we don't have the same values?
He's mind reading. So he's doing a catastrophic future thinking. He's going into the future and you're going into the future too. So he's thinking, because you object to him spending 10 grand a month on helicopter lessons, that you will then object to private school for the future children that you do not have. And you will this or that. So he's going into the what if, thinking about the future, about how if you object to this, then surely you will object to that, mind reading you, and not the what is. You're actually mostly talking about the what is. How can you be spending $10,000 on a month? Do you have it, first of all, on this, and making that more important than where we live? Right? You're talking about the what is happening.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't even completely object to it. Like, I know that it's temporary, and I know as soon as he gets his pilot's license, it's not going to be $10,000 a month. It's just going to be maybe $2,000 a month. I know that it's temporary, and I know that I have extravagant hobbies too. Like, I like shopping and I buy stuff, you know, like probably more than I should. You know, I don't need so many clothes, jewelry, bags, whatever. I could spend less too. But I think that it more of all I like all I said, he's I'm like, oh babe, like how much? He's like, it's getting really expensive, so I just want to get it out of the way. It's expensive, and the longer I like spread out my lessons, the longer it's going to take and more money it's going to cost. And I was like, oh babe, how much does it cost? And so he told me, and I'm like, wow, so that's $2,500 a week, so that's like over $10,000 a month. Babe, like that's a mortgage payment. Like it was kind of more like, do you realize like that's a mortgage payment? I don't know. I didn't think don't fly.
But so you both heard different things from each other. You're saying, do you realize when you say, do you realize that's a mortgage payment, that $10,000 a month, a nice mortgage payment, he hears that you're not supporting him. And when he says we should slow things down, you hear the relationship is in peril. So it's like that game of telephone where you're each saying something, but you're hearing something different.
Something different.
And so what you want to do is get to the original like meaning to you and recognizing what actually is happening versus what you think that will mean for the future. And he has to do the same thing too.
Can you say that again? I missed the last part about meaning, what meaning something for the future. You said getting rid of that?
That you have to get to the original meaning. What does it actually mean to you that he has this, as you put it, extravagant hobby, right? What does that mean? And what does it mean to him that you objected to it? Now, he's already kind of given us a clue, which is that you're going to object to putting kids in private school in the future. Quite a leap. So you have to each distill down, well, what does it mean to you that he's doing this extravagant hobby? And you called it extravagant, which says a lot. And what does it mean to him that you objected to it? So that you could talk about that rather than all these other mind reading things and then you to avoid that by focusing on eating more. So I think it's really wise that you realized that you were sort of manufacturing this reason to focus on food by saying, right, you were manufacturing that as a way of protecting you from looking at what you don't want to look at, which is the difference in spending habits. But the reality is oh my gosh, there's a hummingbird right outside my window. I wish you guys could see it. Oh, and a tree right outside my window. So pretty. So sorry, Nicole. Just had
to share. That's okay. Can you take a picture? I want to see.
I wish I could. But my phone is recording on Instagram live. But the thing is, when you realize what is actually going on, what are you fighting? What do you think you're fighting? It's when I talk about the invisible army. When you have an invisible army, you get beaten up. But when you make the army visible, when you say, well, this is really what that means to me, and then it stops being so hidden and amorphous, and then you can just deal with it directly.
And also, I'm also fearful that if I don't give up my beliefs and the way that I was brought up and what makes me feel secure, that he's gonna not want to. Yeah, maybe it's also going back to the abandonment thing, that like he'll not want to be with me, or like he's not gonna, that he'll break up with me, or like, so I feel like I just need to suppress all of it and not be real about how I feel about the situation. And I mean, it's not even about the helicopter, it's more like you said, what it means that he's spending so much on this extravagant hobby when there's other things he could be paying off or taking care of to kind of build our future. And I understand that having a hobby is important and that you need to be well-rounded and, you know, like the physical, the emotional, the work side, the environment, the hobby, the spiritual, like you need to have everything to be like a whole healthy functioning person. But like, why does it have to be this? I don't know. But then again, is it really make or break? It's like, it's temporary. Well,
it's not make or
shut up about it.
No. So when you speak about how you feel and then you say, well, what, I should just shut up about it, it's temporary, then you are dismissing yourself. The thing is, couples have differences. they have differences. If you were clones of each other, that wouldn't be very interesting. It's not that you don't have differences. It's like, how do you manage those differences? And when he is perhaps one of a person who says, hey, I want to get my pilot's license and I'm going to spend it and it's worth it. It's with that. That's more worth it to me than a nice mortgage. And for you, you are more conservative. It doesn't mean you have to give up your conservative value. It doesn't mean he has to give up his. It means you have to come to a middle ground.
Yeah, that's what
So
exactly.
It's how to do that. And if you start hiding parts of yourself from him out of fear that if you're authentic, the relationship is in peril, then that does not bode well. So being honest about your fears and what it means to you, and he can, and then you can answer his fears. His fear is if you object to helicopter lessons now, that you're going to object to private school later. Like, how did he get there? So it's being able to say, no, what do you value? And there's overall values, there's values in the present, there's what it means for the future. All of that needs to be expressed and understood.
Yeah. And what's crazy is I went to private school my whole life. He never went to private school. So I why would I object to sending kids to private school? I don't know. I guess anyway.
It's called mind reading.
Yeah.
And mind reading is when you think you know what the person is going to think or feel or do in the future.
Yeah.
And then you react in the present as if that future has actually happened or will happen. So he's already decided that you're going to say no to private schools and is having a reaction in the present about a future that is, from the sound of it, unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to stay in the present.
Yeah, let me write that in the present.
Stay in the present. And I'm glad you guys are going to couples counseling later today, because this is important. You want to stay with what is, which is reality in the present, versus what if, which is fear about the future.
Yeah. So you think that's what's going on?
I think that's what's eating at you. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because you're not calling me and telling me about this stuff. You're calling me and saying, I'm eating more. Well, you're eating more because this is eating at you.
Yeah.
And you have, you, as many people, have learned to avoid certain thoughts and feelings that make them uncomfortable about their partners or their life situation or whatever, and focus instead on food, weight, body image, because it's, as awful as that is, it is easier to focus on what you weigh and what you're eating than what is bothering you and what's weighing
and you. Yeah, absolutely. And then how about, let me know if we need to hang up, but I wanted to say, how about then getting mad at myself, like being mad at myself for being hungry?
Then you get mad at yourself for how you feel, which is called turning against the self. So instead of just saying, hey, the situation bothers me and I'm afraid of bringing it up because I'm afraid he's going to break up with me, as you did a lot of mind reading yourself. When he said, let's slow this down, you heard, I'm going to break up with you. So instead of talking about that and how scary that is and recognizing your own mind reading, you turn against yourself and get mad at yourself, when really maybe you're mad at him.
Yeah.
Or mad at, you know, or just mad, just upset.
Yeah.
So mind reading, what finding yourself mind reading when you think you know what someone's thinking, when you future forecast, you know, what if versus what is, and when you turn against yourself for either get mad at yourself or get mad at yourself because of what you weigh, that those are all signs that something is bothering you that needs your attention, and that using food and weight and exercise and all of that is a deflection from the true concern. So I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks
for calling. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
you know, doing this during a pandemic and trying to put on a show when usually we're in one space and he's in the engineering room and I'm in the studio, so much easier than trying to do this when we're in two completely separate locations.
Hello.
So bear with, oh, there's Carly Gash.
Good morning, Dr. Nina.
Good morning, Carly Gash. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Much better with your help. Thank you so much. And I'm very glad to see you on Instagram. You look so pretty.
Thank you.
You are so pretty.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to see all those people joining on Instagram. I'm so happy to see all of them, all of you guys. Thank you so much for your help. And thank you very much for letting me join Binge Rebates, your new program with Kelly Gunter. It's really, really helping me. So because what I did right now, I totally surrounded myself with your program. I'm doing this, I'm reading the book, I'm doing exercises, worksheets. The last month was hard for me because I was in the intense change. I've been doing your programs and books for about 2-3 years, but this month I just really, I guess, put my mind into it, understanding that if I want a result, a change, I need to be into it. So I've been doing that, and I guess I got scared because I had some success, and then I sabotaged my success. And then I think what's going on right now is this teeter-tattler with, oh, actually, when I do stuff, I'm getting success. And then I'm like, the voices in my head from my past, like, who do you think you are? You're going to fail again.
Carly Gash, can I just point out, first of all, thank you so much for telling me how helpful the Binge Free Babes project has been for you and everything. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. It means so much to me. But I want to point out what you just did was you were talking about making progress and some success and feeling better. And then these voices came and they talked you. You talked to yourself,
yes,
in second person as you. You don't deserve this. Who do you think you are? And that is one of the main things that I tell people to look at. How do you talk to yourself? If it's in the second person, if you call yourself, you're talking to yourself from a you place, you're usually not being nice, right? It's usually not, you got this, you could do this. No, it's who do you think you are, like you just said. And that is the voice of an inner critic, usually someone that you, mm-hmm, and I know mm-hmm, from working with you that it's someone that you spoke that way to you, several people who spoke that way to you, and you internalize that. And even though you've, mm-hmm, you've moved across the world to here from Kazakhstan, those voices are in your head, and that's what you need to lose, not weight or anything like that. You need to lose those voices to be at peace with yourself, and then you're at peace with food.
Thank you so much. My question is, because I've been doing this change, and this is my third day where I really am really observing my thoughts, like more often than I was capable of in the past. So, and I really see this critical voices and the reality in my voice. And this is a huge accomplishment for me. And then I should say that this critical voices is something by default, very easy, because it's been like this in my head my whole life. And I've been functioning through this. And it was tremendously, honestly, laborious thing to do, like on an everyday basis. So right now, when I'm noticing them, I should honestly say that being kind to myself and supportive is an effort right now. And I'm very grateful that I came to the place where I'm at least capable of seeing that. And
it's
I just
an effort.
To add,
sorry, I know I keep interrupting you, but It's an effort to be nice to yourself because there's a part of you that identified with those people who were mean and critical. And there's a part of you, like it or not, who thought they were right. And so being nice to yourself is in essence saying, no, you people were wrong and you were wrong about me. And I'm not who you think I am. I don't deserve what you said to me. But if you think they're right on some level, it's really hard to get them out of your head. And that's why it's so important to look at, well, how did you come to absorb their thoughts? How did you come to believe that they were right? Because you can intellectually know that they were wrong, but psychologically take them in.
Well, now when you said that, you helped me so much, honestly, because my mom, I will say those voices are my aunts and uncles, my extended family's voices. We kind of live together. It's a cultural thing. I know how I believed it because my mom, she never stood up for me. She always chose them over me. And when they were like accusing me and abusing me, saying, oh, she's selfish. She goes to like kind of, it's not private school, but I was always talented and I went to the best school in the city, the best musical school, like best thing because of my intelligence. I got it myself. And they used to accuse me of that. My mom never stood up for me. She never said, hey, you are wrong. She is not selfish. She got to those schools because she's smart and she's working hard and stuff like that. She never stood up for me. And I guess I interpreted as this her. I always wanted her to stand up for me against others.
And I always wanted her to. You must stand up for you in a way that she never stood up.
Well, I kind of stood up for myself as I was a kid. I used to fight for my truth and like literally physically fight, verbally fight. But inside it got to me, you know. I let it get to me. I let it get into me. So maybe I should look at the fact that my mom did a wrong move, like as a mother, and that's what happened.
And
if I was a mom, I would stand up for my child. I would not let anyone let my child down in any ways, verbally, physically, any way.
And when you give psychological birth to yourself, which means you get to be the person that you truly authentically are without seeing yourself through the eyes of people who treated you badly for whatever reason, when you give psychological birth to yourself, that means you're both the baby you, the authentic you, and the mother to yourself. And you get to treat yourself as you would have wanted to be treated, as you treat others. I will tell you, you know, on the Facebook group for Binge Free Babes, you are the most kind, supportive, acknowledging, cheerleading, wonderful person to everybody else. Where's that person to you? Where's that person to you?
It's just, you know, I always said if I had Carly Gash on my side, if I had like, I can really support people. I can realize, see goodness in people right away. That's the only thing I see in people. But I always said, if I had Carly Gash on my side, with all this energy supporting others, but supporting me, I would do like anything. And I guess I really need to stand up for myself internally. I really need to go deep inside and believe that, yes, I'm worthy. Yes, I am who I am. And you guys have no right to blame me because of whatever your issues, that, but that's not my business. And I guess I really need to go deep and believe that I'm worthy and stand up for myself internally.
Yes. And remember, in families where you're sort of, there's an odd person out, a target, a scapegoat, usually
truth keeper.
That person is the keeper of the truth. And the family sort of collectively doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They feel threatened by the truth. And that's why they scapegoat the holder of the truth. You're the holder of the truth.
But the holder of the truth, the scapegoat, as a kid, doesn't know that.
Yes.
They think, what's wrong with me that the family is treating me this way? Well, nothing was ever wrong with you. And it's a matter of seeing with clarity reality, who you are, who you were, and embracing the person that you are so that the person you are to other people can be, which is the true you, that's you. You to other people, that's you. But you to yourself, that's them. You're talking yourself in the toxic voices of the people who treated you the worst. And you know, when that happens, you feel terrible. And when you feel terrible, there's food to make you feel better. So It's really so important to recognize that you are the holder of the truth about yourself, not them. And to be to you as you are to others, that's what you deserve. You never deserve the treatment you got, and you don't deserve it now from yourself.
Thank you so much. It makes so much sense. I believe that you just hit the point. You just showed me if it makes so much sense. If I'm the holder of the truth, that it means that I need to be the holder of the truth for myself. How about, I like it. I like that. Before in the family, I was saying, hey guys, this is how it should be. This is wrong. You cannot abuse your kids. And like beat each other, you know, and steal each other's money. I just need to speak this truth about myself. I was always just ashamed to say, and you cannot, I should just add to it, and you cannot treat me like this.
Yes, and that goes for you.
It's abnormal. It's sick. Yeah.
And that goes for the part of you that's identified with them that treats you so badly. That is the most important thing you can do for yourself, is to challenge the voices of your aunt and uncle and mother that are in your head now, so that you could be to yourself as you are to others. You could be as nurturing and kind and present for you as you are for other people. You deserve
I'll
that.
I'll do my best this week.
I look forward to hearing how it goes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nina.
You're so welcome.
As usual, you are so powerful. Yeah, I wish I was you, like I had your ability. You know exactly. It's not woo-woo. It's like you are so precise, like a surgeon. You just dissect exactly the part which is really staying in the way. Like last week, I called, and when we figure out that, well, I'm in pandemic, and I took measures, I took that in mind. Honestly, this week was much easier than the previous one.
I'm glad. Thank you for the compliment. But you know what? It's a lot. First of all, I'm trained as a psychoanalyst, that training helps me do that. And secondly, it's a lot easier to have an objective view over your situation. You're in it. Nobody can have an objective view over their own subjective situation. That's why to become a psychoanalyst, you've also got to go into analysis. Because even though to become a psychoanalyst, you have to be a licensed mental health professional, you still don't have an objective view of your subjectivity. So everybody needs a little help. We all need help understanding ourselves. It's my pleasure to help you out.
Thank you so, so much. I'm so lucky to know you. And like, you literally saved my life. I've been looking for you my whole life, because I've been trying and trying all these programs, whatever books, nothing. It helped a little bit, like a Band-Aid on a cancer. But then I was like, but with you, I experienced like real changes. And I really started breathing like a life person, you know, like, really breathing myself, and I started feeling that I actually am living life instead of like running away and like whatever. Thank you so much.
That makes me so happy. Thank you, Carly Gash.
And please, whoever is listening, please join this binge-free babe. It's just so cool. It's just tons and tons of people like us together doing the same thing. It's so helpful. It just empowers so much. And it's just awesome.
Well, thank you for that plug for Binge Free Babes. And again, I'm so glad that you're a part of it. And I'm so glad you called. And let me know how it goes.
Sure, I will. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye. Oh.
That just makes me so happy with what she said. I mean, you know, the reality is that when we pluck weeds, and the weed is whatever we think we're dealing with, whatever we think the problem is a weed.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello. I hear myself in the background. Is the radio on? There's a little bit of a lag.
There we go. Okay.
Hi. Hello, there.
Hi, this is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. You called a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, and you were having a hard time, as I recall.
I did. I called a couple weeks ago, and I was having a lot of anxiety, and I was having panic attacks, and I was really blaming myself for it. I was like, you know, really giving myself a hard time for having a hard time. but I'm feeling much better this week. Although, you know, I'm still having a lot of issues. Still having a lot of issues with the uncertainty of what's going on.
Of course you are. Of course you're having.
The stay-at-home order, like, you know, it was supposed to end on, you know, a certain date, and then they extended it by, you know, months. And I'm feeling a lot of, you know, anxiety still. No more panic, thank goodness, because I have some tools now. I'm seeing a therapist and what have you. So that's gone away, thank goodness. But, and a lot of uncertainty. And because of the uncertainty, I'm having control issues, like loss of control. And
yes,
even a little claustrophobia. Like, when will this be over? When will it be over?
Well, I want to thank you for calling back and letting us know that you're feeling better, and that you recognize that you were, you know, upset at yourself for being upset, which is another form of turning against yourself and never makes things better. You know, yeah. Never has anyone yelled at themselves or berated themselves and felt better about it. That just doesn't work. But I just want to normalize what you're feeling. You're feeling uncertainty about something that everyone is feeling. Well, except for the people in the crowded beaches this weekend and Memorial Day, they clearly have some certainty. But most of us are feeling, especially where are you calling from? What state are you calling?
California, Los Angeles.
Okay. So those of us in California are still under quarantine. It's still very much a locked down state, and nobody knows what's going to happen. And so this is a massive uncertainty about what's going to happen with the virus, economically, what's going to happen, just in so many ways. So of course, it's an unsettling time. And there's no way to not feel uncertain, and there's no way to not feel scared. What you can do is the opposite of what you were doing before, which is getting beating yourself up, turning against yourself, is just to respond to yourself. Yes, of course you are scared. How could you not be? Yes, this is terrifying. This is upsetting. This is whatever it is to you. Right? And then validate that rather than try not to feel it.
Okay, that makes sense. It just sucks to feel it, you know?
It sucks to feel it if you're stuck in the feeling. It sucks to feel it if you're just if you dive into a pit of uncertainty. But if you dive into a pit of uncertainty and say, okay, this doesn't feel good, this is scary, but I am not going to be here forever. I'm not alone. Something, you know, this is awful. It just is. Just the acknowledgement and validation of it helps a little. It seems counterintuitive, but when you try to make yourself feel better, oh, it can't last forever, and oh, something's going to happen, and oh, you know, a year from now it'll be this or that, that doesn't make you feel better. But when you say, yes, this is horrible, somehow that makes you feel better, because it's like, yes, of course it's horrible. And then you actually feel it for less time than if you're trying not to feel it. What you resist will persist.
That's very true. Very true. You are correct. And I'm also, you know, honestly, I'm after this weekend, you know, where I pretty much stayed home the whole weekend because I had this fear that there was going to be tons of people out and about. And then when I saw the news of all the pictures of people congregating and not wearing masks and, you know, at the beach and at pool parties, I just have this anger for these people who I feel like the more people don't take this seriously and respect one another by wearing masks and staying home, the longer it's going to go on. And the people that are stuck at home are suffering while these other people are partying and not taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's, so I'm with you.
I have no control over that. I have no control over that, but I wish I did.
and that's where you can be vulnerable to switching the lack of control to other things. Like the last time you called, you talked about not so much food, but what, you know, drinking. So it's like, oh, I can't control that, but I'm going to focus on my drinking, or I'm going to be out of control with my drinking, and I can at least control that. Or with food, this for people for whom it's food, the same thing. And so it's, but again, when you transfer it to something else, you just distract yourself. But when you say, as you just said, when you express it, how enraged and angry and upset you are, that's what gets rid of the feeling. And that's what's so important, is to express it. You can't go express it to those people at the pool party. When I say express it, I don't mean go to the people who are actually upsetting you. Most of the time, that's not a good idea. But expressing it in a different way, as you just did. Like you just vented it out a little bit, and that's good. Or talking to a friend, or call me up every week, express it, put it in a journal, you know, primal scream into a pillow, but with words too. You know, it has to come out. It's when we try to keep it in and we try not to feel something that it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it's interesting. Why do we feel, I don't know, or at least why do I feel like I have to squash it? Like I have to just squash it, and I just grab, like, I'm going to drink a glass of rosé, and I'm going to push with that every gulp. I'm going to push all those feelings down, 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 you know, instead of just letting it out, like letting the volcano erupt and feeling better. It's weird. Are we taught that? Is that like,
yes, we are taught that. We are taught that. We are taught. And oh my gosh, I can't believe we're at the end of the show already. This went so fast, but let me just finish. We are taught that you're strong if you don't feel feelings, which, how ludicrous is that? It's strength to not feel normal human reactions. And it's weak to feel feelings when the opposite is true. And so, and also girls are taught it's not nice to feel anger, and boys are taught boys don't cry. And so rather than our feelings are just reactions to situations, they are not character flaws. That's what we all have to learn.
Yes, that makes so much sense, Dr. Nina. You're so smart. Thank you.
Thank you. Boy, it's compliment day. Thank you, everybody. But I just have some knowledge that I am imparting, and I hope it helps you. And I'm really glad, Jenny, that you're feeling better. And you know, call me back and let me know how it goes. Call me back and vent that anger, because I guarantee you there are thousands of people out there who, as you are talking and saying how you feel, are nodding and going, yes, 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 yes. I feel the same. So you're doing it for you and you're giving a voice to other people, which is awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Take good care. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I'll talk to you soon and I'll get ready to vent.
Okay. Can't wait to hear it. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And gosh, that is our show for today. That went really fast. Thank you to all my callers who called with such interesting and important points. For anyone who's interested, as Carla Gash was talking about the binge-free babes, just go to bingefreebabes.com and you'll find out all about it. And just everyone, you're doing the best that you can do during this terrible time. Be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And be nice to yourself. You deserve that. I am Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.